भयं सह अविद्यया मृत्युं तीर्त्वा विद्यायामृतं श्रुतेयम्. Translation: only one who can learn the process of nishans and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since the creation of the material world, everyone has been trying to attain a permanent life. But the laws of nature are so cruel that no one has been able to avoid the hand of death. No one wants to die, nor does anyone want to become old and diseased. The law of nature, however, does not allow anyone immunity from old age, disease or death. Nor has the advancement of material knowledge solved these problems. Material science can discover the nuclear bomb to accelerate the process of death, but it cannot discover anything that can protect man from the cruel hands of old age, disease and death. From the Puranas we can learn of the activities of Hiranyakashipu, a king who was very much advanced materially. Wanting to conquer cruel death by his material acquisitions and the strength of nishans, he underwent a type of meditation so severe that the inhabitants of all the planetary systems became disturbed by his mystic powers. He forced the creator of the universe, the demigod Brahma, to come down to him. He then asked Brahma for the benediction of becoming Amar, by which one does not. Brahma said that even he could not award the benediction because even he, the material creator who rules all the planets, is not Amara. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Brahma lives a long time, but that does not mean he is immortal.
Any questions? So let's proceed then. Why don't you do the next two chapters?
Two paragraphs. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. This cunning gentleman, Hiranyakashipu, was interested in these two things, money and women, and he wanted to enjoy them by becoming immortal. He asked from Brahma many benedictions in hopes of indirectly fulfilling his desire to become immortal. Since Brahma told him that he could not grant the gift of immortality, Hiranyakashipu requested that he not be killed by any man, animal, god, or any other living being within the 8,400,000 species. He also asked that he not die on land, in the air, or water, or by any weapon. In this way, Hiranyakashipu foolishly thought these guarantees would save him from death. Ultimately, however, although Brahma granted him all these benedictions, he was killed by the personality of Godhead in the form of Nrisimha, the Lord's half-lion, half-man incarnation. And no weapon was used to kill him, for he was killed by the Lord's nails. Nor was he killed on the land, in the air, or in the water, for he was killed on the lap of that wonderful living being, Nrisimha, who was beyond his conception. The whole point here is that even Hiranyakashipu, the most powerful of materialists, could not become deathless by his various plans. What then can be accomplished by the tiny Hiranyakashipus of today, whose plans are thwarted from moment to moment?
Oh, nice. Comments? Any suggestions? Any questions? All right, let's move on. Matthew, why don't you pick up the baton?
Sri Ishopanishad instructs us not to make one-sided attempts to win the struggle for existence. Everyone is struggling hard for existence, but the laws of material nature are so hard and fast that they do not allow anyone to surpass them. In order to attain the permanent life, they must be prepared to go back to the such as the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. To become happy in this life and attain a permanent blissful life after leaving this material body, one must study the sacred literature and obtain transcendental knowledge. The condition of living beings has the body is returned in relationship with God, and has mistakenly accepted the temporary place between God and all alone. The Lord has kindly delivered the above mentioned scriptures in India and other scriptures in other countries to remind the forgetful human being that his home is not here in this material world. The living being is a spiritual entity, and he can be happy only by returning to his spiritual home.
From his kingdom, the personality of Godhead sends his bona fide servants to propagate his message, by which one can return to Godhead, and sometimes the Lord comes himself to do this work. Since all living beings are his beloved sons, his parts and parcels, God is more sorry than we ourselves to see the sufferings we are constantly undergoing in this material condition. The miseries of this material world serve to indirectly remind us of our incompatibility with dead matter. Intelligent living entities generally take note of these reminders and engage themselves in the culture of Vidya, or transcendental knowledge. Human life is the best opportunity for the culture of spiritual knowledge, and a human being who does not take advantage of this opportunity is called Naradhana, the lowest of human beings. The path of avidya, or advancement of material knowledge for sense gratification, is the path of repeated birth and death. As he exists spiritually, the living entity has no birth or death. Birth and death apply to the outward covering of the spirit soul, the body. Death is compared to the taking off, and birth to the putting on of outward garments. Foolish human beings who are grossly absorbed in the culture of avidya, nations, do not mind this cruel process. Enamored with the beauty of the illusory energy, they undergo the same misery repeatedly and do not learn any lessons from the laws of nature.
This is the unfortunate situation. What's happening? Thank you. So Prabhupada says that why the living entities are not interested is that because if one is very enamored by the concept that I am this body and everything around me is meant for my enjoyment, then one does not like to give up that particular circumstances which one is put in, even though it may be a little harsh or a little cruel. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 21st chapter, you have seen that there are the birds, the herons or the storks or those kind of birds who stand at the edge of water trying to scoop up fish or some other animals for their sustenance. Now, the position of a materialistic householder is compared like that. That when the rain or the storms come in, the waves push the bird. Now, the bird is feeling a little bit of the push of the waves, but yet it somehow it tries to adjust, you know, tries to maintain its position so that it can still continue its activities of sense gratification. Similarly, in this material world, there is no firm base. One of the persons I met asked me, "What's your base? What's your base in this world?" I said, "There is no base in this world. The base in this world is as illusory as one is standing on the top of water expecting that he will be floating on top of water. At any time you will be just dunked in into the water, or you will fall into the water. Because this material world, Krishna says, is dukkhalayam and sashvatam. That doesn't mean one becomes depressed or starts thinking negative about this world. This sort of philosophical approach to world should not and must not give rise to depression, because that's another sort of ignorance of this world. The idea is, when we approach this world, when we gain this knowledge that we are not this body, our idea is how to get out of this entanglement, not get depressed. Oh, what's the use of working? Man, what's the use of living? Anyway, I'm going to die one day. What's the use of this? This is all a negative, pessimistic thinking of life. And Arjuna was under similar thinking when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. But at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna started acting. He was shaken up from his lethargy and he started fighting. The whole call of Bhagavad Gita is to encourage a man to ultimately reach his ultimate abode, which is the lotus feet of Krishna. Because if, for example, you are traveling on a road which is full of dangers, if somebody tells that there are dangers, doesn't mean you to discourage. How to avoid those dangers is what intelligent persons uses that information to proceed on that road. Exactly. So that is the whole idea of spiritual life, to regain our consciousness, to regain our lost consciousness, our Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in this world, if one is too attracted to the material, glaring material energy of the Lord, then one forgets this aspect of life. One just, this becomes smashan vairagya, or vairagya which is temporary. For example, a dear one passes away, and I can tell from personal experience, when a dear one passes away, and when the person is being either cremated or being buried, you get a powerful sense of renunciation and detachment from this world. Because you realize that the person you seen, you laughed with, joked with, the person who enjoyed all his life or her life, had big, big properties or whatever, family, at the time of death, there is nobody that can save that person. And that person is just going to get interred either way. So a powerful sense of detachment occurs at that point, but material nature is so strong that it will immediately cover. Later you forget everything and then you just get back to your life. So the spiritual life is meant to cultivate that one shouldn't lose sight of one's goal or ultimate goal of life, which is to rediscover our spiritual life. Some might, that's the whole goal. When there is like strong things, this body is useless, this body is temporary, it has its value. You know, the material world, the whole negative impact of the spiritual life is to bring out the positive or the spiritual in the human form of life. Absolutely. Thank you, Patrick. Any questions? Or any, like, we just proceed. Let's do next two chapters, and then we can discuss more. Seventy-nine, the second chapter. Paragraph. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm getting.
Therefore, the culture of vidya, or transcendental knowledge, is essential for the human being. Sense enjoyment is the diseased material condition that must be restricted as far as possible. Unrestricted sense enjoyment in this bodily condition is the path of ignorance and death. The living entities are not without spiritual senses. Every living being in his original spiritual form has all the senses, which are now materially manifested, being covered by the material body and mind. The activities of the material senses are perverted reflections of the activities of the original spiritual senses. In his diseased condition, the spirit soul engages in material activities under the material covering. Real sense enjoyment is possible only when the disease of materialism is removed. In our pure spiritual form, free from all material contamination, real enjoyment of the senses is possible. A patient must regain his health before he can truly enjoy sense pleasure again. Thus, the aim of human life should not be to enjoy perverted sense enjoyment, but to cure the material disease. Aggravation of the material disease is no sign of knowledge, but a sign of avidya, ignorance. For good health, a person should not increase his fever from 105 degrees to 107 degrees, but should reduce his temperature to the normal 98.6. That should be the aim of human life. The modern trend of material civilization is to increase the temperature of the feverish material condition, which has reached the point of 107 degrees in the form of atomic energy. Meanwhile, the foolish politicians are crying that at any moment the world may go to hell. That is the result of the advancement of material knowledge and the neglect of the most important part of life, the culture of spiritual knowledge. Sri Asanoprasad herein warns that we must not follow this dangerous path leading to death. On the contrary, we must develop the culture of spiritual knowledge so that we may become completely free from the cruel hands of death.
Hmm. That's there was recently, I don't know, if I was reading in the news that there was like some sort of mix-up, and they carried nuclear bombs on the wings of the plane from one part of the country to the next, and the crew didn't even know that they were carrying nuclear bombs when they were carrying. And there was a big hue and cry about it. I don't know if it was dangerous, if the missiles were armed or not, but this just highlights the fact of the dangers which we live in. The modern scientists, they have this peculiar aspect or peculiar thinking that by our own intelligence and by our own manipulation of matter, we can solve all the problems. But the fact of the matter is, Krishna says in the third chapter that there are somebody above us who provide the necessary ingredients to maintain our life. It's not like we generate our own sustenance. Forgetting this fact, in the modern civilization, what's happening is they think that we can solve all the problems by our own endeavor, but they are being baffled at every step. And it's a fact. Few years ago, or even few decades ago, there was not so much of stress in society as it is now. In fact, the means of communications were very limited at that time, mainly by through mail, through writing the mail. Yet, in modern world, we have hundreds of devices to communicate, yet the communication has gone down. There is not so much of communication you get. See? The idea of having devices for communication is itself reducing the communication. So there are the aspect of modern life is that we can solve the problems on our own is something which is incorrect. That's what Prabhupada is trying to point out. And the modern leaders, because they lack the spiritual aspect or spiritual consciousness, they encourage everybody to be happy or to enjoy senses, not knowing the fact that just by enjoying senses, one is just dragged onto the platform of repeated birth and death.
Increasing the fever.
Increasing the fever, as you said, right. So what do we do? Now you say, okay, you're talking about all this stuff, so what are you doing? We are going and distributing books, which will help people to know, you know, this is the spiritual life. The whole idea is there is ignorance in the society. The forgetfulness of God is a form of ignorance. And when we go out and distribute books, like our famous leaders here, Kajal and her husband, Prakash too, we go out and distribute books to tell people that there is a choice. This is not life you are meant for. That's such a great feeling that, yeah, I don't have to die. People are so scared of dying. But when Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you never die. You have been living and dying for millions of years. Excellent. Yes, Patrick, you're right. Every day you've been changing clothes. So you'll be changing clothes tomorrow. But the whole idea is that how do I get out of this clothes changing business? That is.
Getting tired of the same old clothes.
Let's continue further.
Another song? Oh, that's not another song.
Sure.
This does not mean to go
away? Yes.
Okay, we're on page 80 of the Sri Shupanishad. If you want to grab a Shri Shupanishad right there, we're on page 80. 80. Yeah. First paragraph. This does not mean that all activities for the maintenance of the body should be stopped. There's no question of stopping. This does not mean that all activities for the maintenance of the body should be stopped. There's no question of stopping activities, just as there's no question of wiping out one's temperature altogether when trying to recover from a disease. To make the best use of a bad bargain is the appropriate expression. The culture of spiritual knowledge necessitates the health of the body and mind. Therefore, maintenance of the body and mind is required if we are to reach our goal. The normal temperature should be maintained at 98.6 degrees, and the great sages and saints of India have attempted to do this by a balanced program of spiritual and material knowledge. They never allow the misuse of human intelligence or diseased sense gratification. Human activities diseased by a tendency towards sense gratification have been regulated in the Vedas under the principles of salvation. This system employs religion, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. But at the present moment, people have no interest in religion or salvation. They have only one aim in life, sense gratification. And in order to achieve this end, they make plans for economic development. Misguided men think that religion should be maintained because it contributes to economic development, which is required for sense gratification. Thus, in order to guarantee further sense gratification after death in heaven, there is some system of religious observance. But this is not the purpose of religion. The path of religion is actually meant for self-realization, and economic development is required just to maintain the body in a sound, healthy condition. A man should lead a healthy life with a sound mind just to realize vidya, true knowledge, which is the aim of human life. This life is not meant for working like an ass or for culturing avidya for sense gratification.
Further? Let's continue. No, let's continue.
The path of vidya is most perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, which directs a human being to utilize his life to inquire into the absolute truth. The absolute truth is realized step by step as Brahman, Paramatma, and finally Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. The absolute truth is realized by the broad-minded man who has attained knowledge and detachment by following the 18 principles of the Bhagavad Gita, described in the Bhagavad to Mantra 10. The central purpose of these 18 principles is the attainment of transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Therefore, all classes of men are encouraged to learn the art of devotional service to Lord. The guaranteed path to the aim of Vidya is described by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we have presented in English as the nature of devotion. The culture of Vidya is summarized in Srimad Bhagavatam in the following words. Tasmat egena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati sodavya yukti yuktitavyascha deya pujyascha nityada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Unless religion, economic development, and sense gratification aim towards the attainment of devotional service to Lord, they are all simply different from nascence, as Sri Isovanishad indicates in the following mantras.
So in the present form of life, we have this material body. We have to work, we have to maintain ourselves. There are so many obligations. One cannot all of a sudden just give up or walk away from one's position and exclusively dedicate to the personality of Godhead, which would be the ideal situation of life. So for those who are not at that stage where they 100% depend on Krishna, they have to side by side cultivate these two activities, namely the spiritual and the material activities. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that without working you can't even maintain this body. And this body is to be maintained because it can help one remember and render devotional service to Krishna. This body is temporary but very, very valuable. Just like you have a very valuable thing, but it has a deadline on it, and you need to work or a deadline to achieve that particular thing. Similarly, this body, labhva sudurlabham idam bahushambhavante, in Bhagavatam it is said that this body is very, very rarely achieved, this human form of life, not easily achieved. But when it is achieved, one shouldn't waste any time in trying to get the ultimate goal or the ultimate purpose for which this body was designed, namely the perfection of devotional service. Before this body falls, one should just pick up this process and run with it as much as you can in this lifetime. In this one lifetime, if you can achieve 100% success, that's perfect. But if not, one shouldn't get disheartened or discouraged, because this path is not, this is simultaneously sublime and easy, at the same time it's difficult. And to the degree one surrenders to Krishna, to the degree one renders devotional service, to that degree one is protected by Krishna. And one's guarantee, one's path is successful. No effort is lost. Neha brikkhana ashosti pratyavayana vidyate. Second chapter Gita, 41st verse, Krishna says, well, there is no loss or diminution. Everything else, you have to start from scratch. Because at the time, if you see, a child when is born, it practically has nothing. Not even the clothes on the body. And when one is dying, when one dies, one doesn't take anything. Not even this body which was granted. So what is the gain? What is the gain of the human form of life? Is Bhagavatam says in the second canto, first chapter, sixth verse, it is said, etavan sankhya yoga bhyam. It's there, right there in the shloka book. Let's look up the shloka. Etavan sankhya yoga bhyam. Second canto, first chapter, page 195 on the shloka book. This is a shloka of the page 195. The last verse. Etavan sankhya yoga bhyam swadharma parinishtaya janma labha parapumsa ante narayana spriti. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by the perfect discharge of the occupational duty, is to remember the personality of God at the end of life. That is the Janma Labha. The verse when he said Janma Labha, what's the gain in human form? What do we gain by living and existing?
So one becomes self-realized that they're not human. Let's say you're an animal.
Well, if God shows you mercy, yes, sure, you can become self-realized. Because there is a vivid example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a scripture about the teachings and life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was this dog, which every year the devotees from Bengal would come to meet Jagannathpuri to meet Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would take, after he took sannyas, he stayed in Jagannathpuri. And every year a throng of devotees would come to meet him in Jagannathpuri. And one year there was a dog which was following one of his very close devotees called Shivanand Singh. And Shivanand Singh somehow or other got attracted to that dog. He would make sure that the dog was with the devotees, the dog was fed, and he would take great efforts because they had to cross the river. And the riverman, or the boatman who would ply the boat, said, there's no way I'm going to take this dog across. And so you can see at the end, Mahaprabhu, he got remnants of Mahaprabhu, he died and he went straight to Vaikuntha. So in special cases, yes. By the grace of the Lord. And also there is Jadabharat in Bhagavatam. He took birth as a deer, but okay, I'll wait. Thank you. Is this better? So in the fifth canto also, Jadabharat, he was Maharaj Bharat, he was very, very pious and saintly king. He gave up everything to perform devotional service. But by chance he got attached to a deer. In the next life he took form of a deer. But by the mercy of the Lord, he could remember everything that happened in the past. He didn't forget it. And he didn't forget the aim of life, that what have I done? I have given up everything, my wife, my beautiful children, huge opulent kingdom, the sovereignty over the planet. I gave up everything and I was right on my track performing devotional service. Somehow or other I got attached to this deer. And I have now taken the body of a deer. What did I do? And then by the mercy of the Lord, he remembered everything. And in the form of the deer, he was very cautious not to further degrade himself. And he would be always around the sages, eat whatever was there. And then when he quit, he became Jadava. So yes, even in the animal form of life, by special mercy. But human form of life is the prescribed form of life, where you can actually understand God. Or actually even think, where am I, who am I, why am I coming? Stuff like that. Absolutely. Any other questions? Any other comments?
I was just going to say something about since all living beings are his beloved sons, his parts and parcels, God is more sorry than we are ourselves to see the sufferings we are constantly undergoing in this material condition.
Anyway.
Yeah, that gives me, because sometimes I think, God, you know, it's like, I've been here for millions of years and time, you know, what am I going to get out? Or, you know, does God really care about me, you know? But actually, the reason I'm here is because God is actually, Krishna's fulfilling our desires. He's actually fulfilling our desires. We want to enjoy separately from him. So he's giving us full facility to enjoy separately from him. He's saying, go ahead, I want to give you whatever you want. You don't want me, so I'm going to give you not me, you know? And so, but here he's saying, but he knows that we're not really happy like this. So he's just, you know, he wants us to come back. He wants us. He sees that we're suffering. And he wants us to see that we're suffering, you know, and that's the whole idea of the scriptures, to come to the point where, yes, this is really suffering, actually, you know, taking birth, getting old, getting diseased, dying. You know, I have come to the point where I realize this is suffering, and when I realize this is suffering, then I can come, you know, and start rendering service. But Krishna's saying right here that he's more sorry than we are. You know, we're suffering, but he's suffering even more. This is how much God loves us. This is how much he cares about us. You know, so I like that.
Very nice point. And added to that, it's just God is not feeling, but he's there with you right there, birth after birth. Krishna says, sarvasya chaham sujani vishto. That even if one takes the most abominable birth, the Lord is there right as next to you as your super soul. He's watching. That kind is it.
Never leaves.
Prabhupada was saying in his Hare Krishna, Prabhupada was saying in his lecture to the famous Queen Kunti prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, 19th verse. He gave the lecture on this and he said that God is so kind that he goes, wherever you go, he is right there with you, the super soul. Just like if you see a man or a woman is walking his dog. The dog goes here and there, the man is right, master is going right after the dog. And even if the dog is passing all sorts of matter on the road, the master is still there waiting. Why? Because there is love. That is that intimate connection. Similarly, Krishna is our supreme master, and birth after birth, he's been there, right there with you. He did not send any of his demigods to watch over you. He is personally there with you. And Brahma Samhita says that sanityo anitya sambandha prakritischa prayavasa, that there is an eternal kinship between the jiva soul and God that can never be broken. And Krishna, thank you so much for your wonderful point. It is true. It breaks our heart to see that Krishna is so kind, Hare Krishna. So kind and so concerned. Nice. Any other comments or any other points? So, we'll have a little bit of kirtan for a few minutes and then we'll go into our regular Gita class.